The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. It is Sunday. This is Kevin Kritis, is my show, broadcasting live from downtown Reading, the heart of District 1, and that is at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You could also listen online at kcnr1460.com. And, of course, you can go to votekevincry.com. All of my shows are archived. And then I would encourage you to follow me on Facebook, Vote Kevin Cry. On Facebook as well. Get a hold of me. I have a newsletter you could sign up for on the website. A lot of opportunity to engage. Always love to engage with people. And that's even outside of politics. It doesn't really even matter to me. I can't go to Costco or Raley's or some other places and expect to just get in and get out. Because I like to talk to people, and I want to know what your concerns are, what issues you're having, even the ability to pray for somebody if something they see the issue and they want that. But love Shasta County. Okay, with that, the weather forecast, always brought to you by Weather NorCal, not a paid sponsor, just a good friend of mine. And it is going to be hot. It's going to be in the hundreds, and it's going to be in the hundreds for the foreseeable future. 106 on Wednesday coming up, which looks to be the high for the week as of now. I will give a quick disclaimer that this was pre-recorded a couple days prior. So if anything happens, let's say yesterday on Saturday, it won't be included in this show. So with that being said, today is all going to be about the medical school. It's going to be about the healthcare crisis that we've established that we are in Shasta County, and how this process started, because there is a lot of misinformation floating around out there. And I won't even say necessarily just misinformation, just people just aren't educated about how this process really started and where we are, what's happening, and where we see the trajectory thereof. And one thing I will tell you, as being the chair of the Board of Supervisors, I really don't have any other focus in terms of, I mean, there's a lot of issues happening, but right now the two most pressing issues to me, and I've worked on fire insurance and worked with Napa County and other boards of supervisors, San Bernardino, about fire insurance costs, things we could do to bring that down, fire mitigation efforts. But right now I think the two most important things that we as a board, at least me personally, are dealing with is the alternative custody program, and working very closely with Sheriff Johnson on bringing alternative solutions to our huge problem of incarceration and rehabilitation and making our community safer. And then the second being the healthcare crisis and what we could do. Some people think, well, this is all about a medical school. It's not just about a medical school. It is one small piece of it. But as many of you know, sometimes there's an issue that is 5% and then the 95% is on the back half, but you can't get to that 95% until you address the 5% up front. So I think the medical school, the educational component, the recruiting component, residency, like those are just pieces of a much larger puzzle. So how did we get here? Let me back up to last fall. Dr. Danuka was running for Reading City Council, and he talked about healthcare and the primary care and the specialty care physicians and how low that was. And some people automatically start attacking and saying, well, that's not in your jurisdiction. As I watched that, and I didn't have an election, ironically, when he was going through his, but you hear what people in the community say, and the more I started to think about, like, he's talking about something that everybody cares about. Everybody cares about medical coverage or the lack thereof. And if our local leaders or people that are seeking a seat at the county or a city jurisdiction or even a school board, but if they can't talk about bigger issues, then how are we ever going to solve some of those? And the more he talked about it, the more I started to think, well, why not us? Because I don't have a primary care doctor. When my wife had a stroke at 33, we had huge issues with rheumatologists and providers to help figure out what caused it and what do we do going forward. And then, of course, now that I have a grandchild, I realize even a whole different medical care need. And there's, of course, a massive need around psychiatric, and it goes on and on. So when Dr. Danuka started talking about it, I started floating the idea by the other supervisors and then talked to CEO Dave Rickard. Again, this is last year. This is way before Long, Plummer, and Harmon came on to the board. And so by the time I realized, hey, there might be some things we can do, but there is no way with the capacity of our county and deputy CEO staff and what they're doing to add something like this on the plate. So I started to say, hey, we have to find a consultant. We have to find a process. We have to find somebody who can vet this and vet this quick, because in private business, I don't say, hey, let's take 4 years to figure a plan out. Let's see if it's doable. We can do it a lot faster. And I know I rail a lot about government and how long they took. And we just talked about the PSA2 aging marketing plan, which is they're almost done with it after 4 years, how to let seniors know of the services that are available. And I said, hey, seniors, a lot of them are going to be dead by the time you get the word out of what you have if you're taking 4 years constantly. I digress on that. So for me, I started moving towards getting an RFP out or having the process where it would be, hey, what is the way we can do it? And Dave Rickert and County Council said, hey, here's what we can do within the jurisdiction of the CEO's office. So after a long process, and then actually late last year, I brought Supervisor Plummer into the conversation because I knew this was going to be something that the new board, which was that does include Harmon, Plummer, and Long, it would include them this year. So I brought him into those conversations late last year, and we moved forward with the consultant, and that consultant is in studio with me today, Chris Street. Good morning, Chris.
Great to be here, Kevin.
And so when we, you know, when we look at the healthcare crisis and all the things that were going on, Chris, and then you had actually met with Dr. Danuka, what was your first take on the things that he was saying about the medical shortfalls in our community? Like what like rang true to you to say, hey, this is something I think I could lean in and help with?
Well, I moved up here to take care of my parents. I actually grew up in Shasta County as a little kid. And when I came back up here, and my parents have now passed, but when I came back up here, I was just shocked at how much more you pay in Shasta County than you pay in Newport Beach for coverage for insurance, and how little you got and how many co-pays were associated with it. So I knew the problem because I'd been in healthcare before. I ran a big company that had operations in five states in Puerto Rico, had done business with TRICARE, which is the military. So I knew healthcare, but I couldn't understand why a rural location, which normally has lower cost, was charging people higher rates and you couldn't get access.
Yeah. And so, you know, and one of the questions I, you know, originally started to address is, well, this is something that, and again, I've been in office 2.5 years, feels like 20, but I've been in office 2.5 years. And what was interesting is when you see, you know, current or even former politicians, say that, you know, they denied there was a problem. Like, why do you think that is, that so many people were so quick to attack even the conversation around a medical school or healthcare?
Well, I think part of that is just that you're not from around here, and you should leave this to us because we're the pros, right?
Yeah.
And so understanding one of the challenges of running a business is that you start out as a person that's very hands-on, very detail-oriented. Then you get in senior management, and you got to rely on people for the detail-oriented. I think there was a disconnect from not the information at the top, but the information on the bottom. People here didn't understand the platform. You know, they understood their world. When they needed a doctor, they had access to a doctor, but the common person didn't have that access. And even at the county of Shasta, my understanding is that they can't get a primary care physician. So the data reported in back in 2022, and there's this big report that gets published every 3 years. It's going to be published, I guess, in July of this year, said that Shasta County had, for every individual in Shasta County resident, so 554 residents in Shasta County had one primary care physician that could take care of them.
Yeah, and, now, and then that same study said that California was like one in 1,200. Like,
1,240. And yeah. You know, in Newport Beach was only like one in 1,100. So, I mean, you know, the rich folk, you know, had, you know, much worse reported coverage than rural Shasta County.
So when Dignity put that study out in 22, and they said Shasta County had one care provider for every 554. So how did, and again, I just laugh because to me, so the actual number now that they're reporting is one in 3,200.
One in 3,107.
3,107. Okay.
I mean, that's six times?
So has Dignity Health given the reason for that miscalculation officially?
Their reason was that they had a database that covered every doctor who'd ever been a doctor and everyone who was associated with that doctor or you know, may have lived here at one time. They kept a database, so when they were recruiting doctors and specialists, and somehow that database, which showed there were 180 doctors, you know, got plugged into a you know, federal report that covers reimbursement and issues, and you know, got shipped off to Washington D.C. and painted Shasta County as having an excess compared to California, an excess compared to the United States of primary care physicians, which means you get the lowest reimbursement. So you had such a disconnect that you were claiming the highest ratio of coverage, and you were getting the lowest reimbursement. And somehow this information, which was at the bottom, never got to the top.
Yeah. Somehow is interesting, but I don't even think we're going to unpack that right now.
I don't think we need to do that. I think what the bottom line to it is, you know, I got this assignment literally in 2.5 weeks. The number I had was the equivalent of 66 primary care physicians for every 100,000. When it was finally reworked by Dignity, it's 32 physicians for every 100,000. So I'm an expert in data, and my number was higher, and the number that Dignity now uses is 58 for the entire county, which at 180,000 is one for every 32 people.
Yeah. And I had a meeting yesterday, and we're going to work backwards because we're going to talk about this meeting I had yesterday. But it was some local physicians that were Dr. Lapica, Dr. Mooneyham, Dr. Bland, and then Dr. Mark Service. He's the vice dean of medical education for UC Davis. He came up. And there was also Dr. Danuka was there, CEO Dave Rickert, myself, and then Supervisor Plummer was there as well as Dr. Norm Hall, the president of Simpson University. And one of the words that was used when we talked about healthcare, and I won't say who said it, but the word apathy was used. So, you know, and that stuck out to me because when we're talking about medical coverage, medical care, and when you have when a person isn't able to routinely see a primary care doctor, it's not so much just the immediate, but it's the yearly or bi-yearly checkup, twice a year checkup that keeps you from a preventative side into getting to really bad stuff because you let it go too long. The same thing with like dental cleanings. It's like if you have a small cavity, you can catch it before it becomes a full-blown root canal or an abscessed tooth, etc. And what I noticed as we've gone through this process is I've seen cancer rates. And I had talked about this last year with Dr. Moo, and then I'd made it public about some child cancer rates. But as this data has poured more and more in, there has to be a tie to the lack of primary care doctors and our cancer rates because things aren't getting caught probably early. I mean, did you see anything in your data about cancer rates? And do you see any correlation in there about the lack of coverage in our cancer rates?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Shasta County is number 4 out of 58 counties in the state. There's a lot of much more rural counties with much less coverage than we have. But Shasta County stands out because it just isn't a place where you have primary care doctors that are going to see these people regularly, catch it early. And, you know, if you're going to get cancer, you're going to see the signs before, and there's a lot of pre-cancer that you can actually address. Once you get cancer, you're in the fight of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, absolutely. My father-in-law passed away of cancer, and I don't think there's a single person in the county, probably in the state, that hasn't had some, you know, some of their life, somebody they care about, love, or for sure know that hasn't passed from cancer. So let me ask you this. Let's get back to some of the data. You know, has it been floated out about doing any type of forensic audit with the physician data that's out there? Like, who does that? Like, how do we really know what the baseline is? Like, you have your numbers, Dignity has switched theirs. You know, for the naysayers out there, like, how do we get to that so it's undisputed what the real data is?
Well, it's undisputed now. Dignity has, they came in at number below my data. I had to work with with the pieces of the puzzle I had in a very short period of time. I presented my data to them, and then that probably, you know, encouraged them to take a look at their data. They came back. This is 2.5 weeks into my assignment. I had this big disconnect. And so I went to them. I presented. You know, they were very professional. They went and relooked at their data. And 3 days later, they agreed with me. And then they went public at a Rotary meeting by putting the real numbers out. And what they said is that Shasta County right now has a deficit of 100-plus primary care physicians.
Okay. And that's the issue that I see, which is encouraging that they came out with the new information. But so we take that, and then this is where I really want to unpack this on the back half of the show. But we'll start now so we have that data now. So what do we do about it? What's the path forward? And you know, Shasta County being 90% rural, we have some huge advantages. So in your short time as our consultant, what have you found to be the biggest advantages of Shasta County being 90% rural?
Well, we have a residency program here that trains doctors, and they come from medical schools, and they come here for a period of time, usually 2 years, and they go through a process of, you know, what called clerkships, which means they rotate around to the different kind of, you know, they do some time in psychiatry, they do some time, you know, nephrology, you know, these specialties, they go around and touch. But the problem is they don't stay because they're imported in. They may say they're going to stay because they want there's some tuition advantages, but then they come and they leave, and they leave us with the same deficit we had. The problem in Shasta County is over a third of our doctors now are 62 or over. That's the average age of retiring doctors. Remember, doctors are people that use their hands, that, you know, physically have to move. So they actually, you know, like a guy working construction, you know, they don't tend to last with their hands that long. A third of our doctors are over 62, and, you know, many of them in the 80s, and they're going to be retiring. And yet,
or passing away. My last guest was Robert Pepple. His dad, Dr. Rick Pepple, practiced up until his death.
Right, right.
And had a patient, had a good sized patient list and load.
Well, that's committed, isn't it?
Well, it's committed because I think most people, you know, you get into, and especially if you're practicing at that age, you know, into your 60s, 70s, or 80s, I think what you're seeing is people truly care about, you know, the oath they took,
right,
and the mission of providing health care. And, I mean, they take it very seriously. I mean, that's one thing I'll tell you about. I did spend a lot of time on the phone last night after our meetings with Dr. LaPica and Dr. Mooneyham. I mean, you have two individuals that love this community, and they love not just health care, but the health and well-being of people of this county. So going back to the rural advantage of Shasta County, what else, like, what's been the response about the medical school in the community by and large when we talk about bringing, you know, a medical school or some adaptation thereof whether it be a branch, extension of another university, et cetera. Like, what's been the response about that, bring it to rural Shasta County?
Well, a lot of people want to do the same thing that we're doing now. You know, they want to say, let's just get more residencies, you know, which are you know, newly minted 4-year doctors that come out and do their 2 or 3 years as a resident. But the problem is the money. And people don't understand that if you have all the residency programs for Shasta County in Redding, Redding is over 50,000, which means it's not rated as rural. So it doesn't get any bonus, you know, compensation for being a rural county. Rural counties get payments. There's a geographical advantage payment, and then there's a payment advantage if you have a low number of primary care physicians. So with these numbers, we were getting the lowest reimbursement because we had a high number of primary care physicians, at least in this report. What we're given to Washington, D.C. is a high number. And then you take a look at our geographics, which Redding, you know, doesn't qualify as a rural area. So you have no advantage there. And if you were just outside the border of Shasta County and you had, you know, a provider structure there, you'd have that rural advantage. So it was a point system that I identified really quickly, and that point system could be addressed. The idea of having a rural residency, I mean, they do have some, you know, we have, some things there's a clinic out in the eastern part of the county. There's actually two clinics out there. They can do some residency, but you got to get funded. So somebody has to be the leadership. Normally that comes from the state or the county. I think Shasta County, until you showed up, Kevin, and got involved in the detail, people just didn't realize that, you know, making things work and getting higher capacity means you got to find a way to pay for it. There's ways to pay for it. There's advantages to rural. We just weren't taking advantage of that as Shasta County.
Yeah. And then, I mean, and why do you think it just was on past electeds? It just never came up, or just was too much work? I know you can't really speculate or say, but like, people that you've talked to, have they had a response to that? Because to me, it just seems like such a no-brainer to, like, why wouldn't you tackle this? You know what I mean?
Well, it's a big idea, and it's something that most couples and their families around the dinner table talk about. Everybody knows this problem. Everybody talks about this problem. You know, I've got an assistant that has to drive once a month down to Davis. She has to stay 2 nights. That's a backbreaker for her. I mean, it gets incredible treatment. It's fully paid by the government, but the hotels are not paid and the car drive is not paid. So it's just a backbreaker. This is a story that's heard all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, today is the first day of the rest of your life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and don't go small, go big.
Yep.
You can always, you know, go big and ratchet down.
Yeah.
But you can't ratchet up from going small.
And you got to do the daily discipline. I mean, success isn't owned. You know, it's leased, and the rent is due every day.
Yeah.
Right? And if you don't invest that time and do it intentionally every single day, that's why things don't get done. So anyway, okay, I digress with that. So let me ask you this. We have a couple minutes before we take a break. One thing I want to hit on there's a lot of things, because I really want to talk a lot about the residency and some of the conversations you've had around residency with Dr. Lapica and others. But the economic side, I mean, having something like this here, I mean, what an advantage financially to the county and to the community to have those dollars here. Have you done much work looking into the financial? And I know that wasn't part of this, but I know you're a numbers guy. But have you looked much into the financial impact the county would realize in something like this?
Absolutely. If the county shows commitment to a big idea, it's got to be a big idea that pays itself back over time. And I think the difference in a medical school is sort of like looking at Simpson University. You know, this is a small Christian college that's grown by 50%. And most Christian colleges are sort of shrinking. They've grown by 50%. They have the number one nursing program in California, the most important technology state in the country. How could they do that? So you got to have a certain gene pool here, you know, that's powerful. And, you know, a medical school would have a return of 15 to 1. For every dollar invested, you get $15 back. That's just to the county. And the community would have tremendous benefit because you're going to become – when I grew up here as a kid, Shasta County was important because Redding was this hub-and-spoke process that served 14 counties in the north. I think they've lost that. Clearly they've lost that in healthcare. But it's the natural place. You don't drive to Davis. You drive to Shasta County. And so you could bring all that back. And if you brought it back, you know, people come here. They don't just come to see the doctor. They're probably going to eat. They're probably going to shop.
Yep.
You've got bigger stores. You're going to capture all that stuff. So everybody's going to win. But you've got to get you got to start thinking, you know, as a sort of hub and spoke. And I'm going to be speaking at the RCRC meeting, which is all of the rural counties in California.
Let's do this. Let's talk about that after the break. And then I also want to talk pretty deeply about the residency, because that's one of the things people say. You can have a medical school, but if there's no opportunity for residencies, and then also the process of why it's important to have people for here for 4, 5, 6, 7 years and the age that they're at, because I've heard that a lot, and that was confirmed yesterday with especially Dr. Mooneyham. So with that, we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hey, Redding, save big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. A great meal at a great price. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Be sure to stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner just added 4 brand new and 4 returning classics to the menu. Black Bear Diner, 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
All right, and we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show, not my normal song coming out of the break. Normally it's American Flags, which I do love, but I thought Taking Care of Business was one today that was really, really important, because one of the items, you know, that came up this last board meeting, people want to politicize everything, which is fine, and to me, I just don't have time for it. I just want to get stuff done. This whole process of being in office and being the chair the last 2 years, I just want to get the work done. It's so important, and people that I just don't have time. I just don't have time for the politics of it. I care about the policy. I care about the decisions, and I care about getting things moving forward. And you know what? You get paid for done. You get paid for, and when I say paid, I'm talking about just the execution of ideas and getting it done, because ideas are cheap. There's a lot of people that have great ideas, but often don't have plans of how to get there, and or can't put the people and the teams together. And I feel like this county, this board, has put together the teams. We have the people in the room, and in the room that CEO Rickert, myself, and Supervisor Plummer were in the other day, included two individuals, Dr. Mooneyham and Dr. LaPica, who both run residency programs here in the county. So, Chris, tell me a little bit what you've learned. Oh, and by the way, I'm joined by Chris Street, if you're just joining on the back half, who is Shasta County's consultant on this project. He has made a breakneck pace, got us farther than really I could have even imagined that we'd get to this point with the people at the table, people traveling 2-3 hours to meet with us and be in a room to see what we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're moving so fast. And it's being very disruptive to the medical community, I think, in the region, and it's exciting. So before the break, you talked about presenting at RCRC, or by the time this airs, you will have presented at RCRC. But let me ask you this. The residency gap, what did you learn? What do you know now? And what do you see as some paths forward to help mitigate that?
Well, everyone talks about we just need to get more residencies. The problem with residencies is you got to pay for it. That's more than a detail. And so in 2004, Dignity had an allocation of 10, and they actually went down to 6 or 7 matching, which means they only picked up 6 or 7 because they didn't get the financial reimbursement. It was on their nickel. And that was very hard for a not-for-profit hospital. So Shasta Community wanted to open up a program to go start with 2 residents and then go to 4 and go to 6. I mean, these are great ideas to have residencies, except who's going to pay for it? And so we sort of had this start with Shasta Community in 2004 having great ideas, and it died when Dignity went down. And that reduction going down, you know, over time is every year, right? That's 3 to 4 every year. We're 22 years from that. We're like 80. What's that work out to? You know, 88 potential physicians. And when you do residencies, they're coming from somewhere else here as if they're going to adopt staying here. So that's always been a challenge, really only about a third or less stay.
Yeah, 35%. Don't quote me on that. I know that's a number that I heard, but I think
that's about a third.
Yeah, but one of the things that came up yesterday, and it was interesting because, you know, we, and when I say we, I'm talking about just citizens, you know, we hear that the reason why doctors don't stay is because, and again, this, I mean, there was, I guess there was 3 male doctors and 2 female physicians in the room yesterday. But people often say, well, the wives of the doctors wind up wanting to leave because there's no shopping, there's no social, whatever. So you hear that floated a lot. That actually came up at one point yesterday a little bit, but it was kind of, I think, more just tongue in cheek as well. But one of the things that was, and everybody nodded their head yes, was, you know, the age of these individuals who are late 20s, early 30s, they're looking for that life partner, they're getting married. And so when they're making those decisions, if they were in the community, in medical school, in residency, if they were, married or there's a courtship process, maybe they've had kids by then, you're already inundated. You're already here in Shasta County because you've been here for 4, 5, 6-plus years. It's a lot harder to just pick up and leave because you've established relationships, you've established your community, opposed to 2 years where you blow in and blow out. And that's one of the things that I heard in that meeting, that where there's a huge advantage to that, the longer you have them in the community. And even, and I will talk about this anecdote, because when Dr. Dwayne Bland was coming here, he had no idea the beauty and everything else. He thought it was going to be a short visit or a short process, but then being here, he's like, this place is incredible. And one of the things they talked about is a lot of these residency or a lot of these intake processes happen over Zoom now. And, you know, everybody's been to LA, everybody's been to San Diego, everybody's been to, you know, San Francisco, Sacramento, et cetera. So you don't necessarily have to go there because you've already probably been there or you've been to a city very much like it. Well, Redding and Shasta County is very, very different. And you have to come here. You have to see it. You have to wake up, you know, on a fall morning or, you know, a late fall where there's maybe already been a snow on Mount Shasta or Mount Lassen, and you see the majestic beauty we have. There's a huge impact to having them here. So what do you see as some of the solutions some of the individuals are talking about residencies and increasing that number? Like, what are some of the paths?
Well, let's start out. You can't do residency unless you're going to find a way to pay for it. You've sort of mind Redding according to the system that pretty much as much as you can. But if you had rural locations that were doing residency, clinics and such like that, that you could expand the number of residency because there's tons of money. There's one program, from the state to pay for residencies that Shasta community is accessing. There are 30 programs, 30 from the federal government for rural communities. What's called needs. You've got to be a defined needs. That's why this report from Dignity is so important that's coming out in July. If it shows that 57 primary care physicians or less per 100,000, you get in the, caution, basket and you get some funding. If it shows 44 or less, you get maximum funding, but you have to be in a rural location.
So unpack the difference of being on maybe a side of 299 when we talk about rural. Like, we're not talking it has to be in Bernie.
Oregon Trail.
Okay, so let's talk about that in your meeting with Dr. O'Rourke from Shasta College and the difference of being, 1 mile in a different location in the city limits of Redding versus, which we would all still call Shasta College in Redding.
Yeah.
But the difference of being on 299, talk about that so that the listeners understand.
Well, Shasta College is actually in the rural part of the county. Simpson University, which we're also talking to, is on the border of the rural. So would you build something in Redding if you got such poor financial recovery? Or would you go across the street,
across the street?
Literally across the street. It abuts, as the term is, Simpson University and the rural community. And that's important because the money is probably 30% better, for patients across the street. So when you do a business, you look at the fundamentals and you engineer how you're going to capture the most revenue and the most margin. Why aren't we doing that? Oh, I just don't think we had people that understood, that you could do that. I mean, it took a big idea guy like you, Kevin, who's done businesses. Don't be shy about it. Okay. You've done businesses all over the world, and you got teams competing and such like that. You got this basket in the air. You know how much transportation cost is. You know how much cheaper it is to do it local or do it, regional or that. So
my hotel bill for this summer is $190,000. My hotel bill for all my teams deployed.
It's what it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and you're happy to pay it if it works. If you get a multiple of that.
If it pencils.
Yeah, so I mean, the numbers I have here are 15 to 1 for an investment in a medical school. That would also give us if you have a medical school, you have to have residencies, right? So we have to expand the places you can go to residency. This is why I want to have this hub and spoke with the other counties. That's why I want to have another clinic, in Shasta County in the rural area where it's paid more. So we can do this and you get all the residencies you want, but you got to follow the game and understand that you're not going to change Washington, D.C. You need to go, don't do algorithms in Washington, D.C. Do arithmetic. If I do this, I get that. If I'm over here, I lose that. So understanding how reimbursement works is how you pay for this. And as far as the spinoff for how many other businesses, I went to a rural medical school in Lebanon, Oregon, that was able to start because Oregon State University, was slowly talking for, they've been talking for 15 years to have a UC campus at Chico. They'll be talking for 15 years more. But in Lebanon, when this thing fell apart in Oregon State University, they went on the other side of the freeway, sort of, and a town that used to be a mill town, it had gone down from 20,000 people to about 11,000. Every store was in bad shape. About a third of them were boarded up. They opened this medical school, and in 5 years, they had over 100 graduates a year. More importantly, when you go to that town, there are three stores I saw for rent, and they've all been painted and fixed up, and they've got all the, the nice coffee shops and such like that. So they've gone down to 11,000. Now they're back. They're just on the verge of getting back to where they were, you know, 20 years ago when the, you know, the logging industry and the spotted owl came around. Isn't that kind of like Shasta County?
Yeah, well, I definitely think from an industry standpoint, and again, the economics are, for me, and the economic impact, I mean, that can't be understated how important that is to keep revenue, funds, and then all the ancillary things that go with it, local. But to me, like, the most important thing is I want people to have better access to healthcare and better options. And what I've realized is, you know, if not us, who? And if not now, when? And that shakes out in so many other areas, I think, of all of our lives where we just decide, like, I guess if nobody else is going to do it, I'll do it myself. And that's what's been great about this is I don't have any of the answers per se. But what I've always been able to do is I've been able to find the people that can find the answers. We can identify the problem and we could work collaboratively and collectively towards that goal. And the naysayers, you know, can pound sand or they can get on board. And that may sound a little harsh, but what I'll tell you in a very short amount of time, you know, we now have one university that's already stepped up that says they want to be a partner. Let's see how that goes. We have Shasta College who's talking about, you know, and we're in discussions, it sounds like, about partnerships. And now we have UC Davis. So talk to the listeners a little bit about, you know, how you think UC Davis has come into this, why, and where this, you know, can go. Because, again, we're just having discussions. It's not like we're getting a pen out and doing harsh negotiations, but we are competing against Chico, and I'll, you know, and I'll talk a little bit about my conversation with Dr. Service in a second. But what do you think about UC Davis coming around? Did you see that happening this fast?
Absolutely, but yeah, you know, trying to get big organizations interested in something, you got to sort of till your field, you know, to grow your crops. So we started down that path. We were not that. I think UC Davis has got to be afraid of apathy. This community is now stepping up as somebody that's a doer, not a talker. You know, Chico talked. They had 15 years ago, they had this tremendous effort after 15 years of work, and they were going to do it. It's going to be soon, and it all fell apart. And it fell apart, I think, because it could never come together. It's too small an area. It's not as powerful as the Shasta County area, and Shasta County was the natural, but, you know, people here weren't sure, or I don't want a UC, or I don't want this, or maybe I want that. Now you have a crisis. Our public health officer has declared, you know, a county crisis in coverage because people are suffering for this. The pain is now so high, and the leadership now is so good that we're moving forward. We're going to have a medical school. I believe this. We're going to have a medical school, and if UC Davis thinks they're going to be an important player in Northern California, they see the train leaving the station, and they want to know if they should be on that train. Whether this is the right package for us to work with UC Davis, whether this is the right package for us to work with Simpson University, an incredible organization that's demonstrated that they can, you know, start small and, you know, and punch way above their weight. I mean,
and I think you just said it. That's the critical thing, is starting small, not having to build the Taj Mahal or not building what we want to be in 20 years, but how do we start very, very small? How do we have a very bite-sized play in that, whether it is the branch campus that they talked about and the difference with Chico and Reading? Because I asked, because, you know, Dr. Service on, you know, when we had our meeting said, well, he goes, it wasn't 15 years ago. That was different. We went a little bit of a semantics, but I wasn't there, so I can't necessarily, he wasn't either, but talking about what it was. But he did say 2 years ago, I said, okay, well, Chico's ahead of us to get, like, they're not going to put one in Chico and one in Reading, just like they're not going to put, you know, two in, you know, bigger cities. And I don't remember if it was Fresno. I think it was Fresno and, I don't know if it was Stockton or Sacramento. I don't remember because, of Stockton. So they're not going to put one in each of those, but it looks like they're talking about, hey, we're going to put one in Santa Cruz because they just got a grant for $1.5 million. And that was a big deal. I said, well, $1.5 million. I said, big deal. I said, we have, you know, well over 20. And he just, like, his mouth just dropped. He goes, what? And I said, well, I said, we have opioid funding. And one of the things I've heard from Dr. Mooneyham was the extreme need for psychiatric care here. And so we have the ability to lean in with our opioid settlement on a very, very, and so, and, you know, he didn't know about that. So I just, you know, he kind of looked at me like, why wouldn't you mention that earlier? I'm like, well, I don't need to mention that because I know the cards we have. I know what we're capable of. This is about finding the right partner. So when we talk about having the money, I said, okay, so if Chico's ahead of us by 2 years, what do we have to do to close that gap? And I really pushed him. I want to know what we have to do on a punch list to put us ahead of Chico. Because I told him, I said, I can pretty much guarantee you don't have, you know, the city council. You don't have the board of supervisors. You don't have, residency programs. You don't have a university. All these people in a room right now down in Chico, and they're 2 years ahead. I said, we're less than 3 months in. So he's going to get us a list, evidently today or tomorrow, or in the next few days, and then we're going to reconvene, or I'm going to reconvene with him either late July or early August, probably early August, because of scheduling, and he's going to be out, and then I'm going to say, okay, here's all the things that we need to do, here's what we've done, or maybe we've done it all, maybe we're already there, I don't know, but that's going to be the next big step, because I'm going to give them, I'm going to take away every reason why we're not the right pick. Cause I know we're the right pick. And whether we choose them or they choose us, like, I'm going to get that punch list. Cause it's about accountability, Chris. Like, people have to say, this is what's needed. Okay, great. I did it. Now what? You don't get to say, well, it's a big lift, or, oh, it's really tough, or, oh, there's a lot involved, or there's a lot of players. Don't give me that. Give me the list. Give me the punch list. Tell me what I got to do. Give me the permits. Give me the process, whatever that is. And let me, you know, tick those off. And I think that's where we're headed. Sorry, I know you wanted to interject, so go ahead.
No, but Kevin, that's the whole idea, is that they understand you're leaving the station.
Yeah.
That you've already got a plan. You're executing your plan. You're going to be there. You understand. You now understand the money. You guys put me on. You brought me on. I now understand the reimbursement. I understand the grants. We're talking about big money for people who are prepared. We're not going to do a small deal. We're going to do something meaningful for this area. And when you take a look at Davis, they want to be a part of big ideas. What they're afraid of is that, you know, people just sort of sit back, cross their arms, and say, well, go ahead and do that. That does not work. That doesn't work for Davis. They need, you know, a strong anchor. And what they're seeing in Shasta County is leadership and execution. We are now, we know the money, we know the grants, we know how to work this process with rural, and we've you declared this county rural, right? That is a huge
one of the
issue.
One of the first things I did as chair is I brought an initiative forward to return us to caucus as rural across, you know, CSAC, RCRC, et cetera, because the thought of calling Shasta County suburban is just ridiculous.
Well, my granddaughter.
And it was all political, but that's not what we're talking about now.
But my granddaughter just.
Let me clarify that. It was all political to take us to suburban. It was all about supervisors wanting more power, more influence at a state level, and they can say whatever they want. We are a rural county. Call us what we are. We are rural. That's our roots. That's who we are. That's what we identify for the next 9 years.
So I took my granddaughter, you know, class 3 river rafting last weekend, and she was ecstatic, you know, and her dad, you know, just thought it was wonderful. They went and did all the things you do here in Shasta County that they can't do in Newport Beach.
Yeah.
Literally, they just go, you know, they've got the beach in Newport, but they don't have Burney Falls. They don't have mountains that we have. They don't have the whole culture and you know, getting involved. So most young people want that now. They're not really thrilled with being in the cities. You've been around the cities. You know, they're dirty and dangerous again.
Oh, I had a camp. I talked to, you know, just a couple of days ago, I talked to one of my talents, people I represent, pro athlete, or retired pro athlete, Hall of Famer. And they were talking about, less than a half a mile from the school, a school in Vallejo, there was roughly 7 to 10 prostitutes in like lingerie at 11:30 in the morning. So they're going by this. So he had a school resource officer. It wasn't even a school resource officer. It was kind of like a Securitas ardent security individual. And they said, oh yeah, there's so few law enforcement, they don't even patrol that anymore. Like, and if there's a, you know, so I mean, it's like, why would you want to be in a community like that when you could be in a community like this? You know, so I'm sorry. I digress from that, but it's just like, you don't have to tell me about the difference of city versus, you know, more of a rural country life.
So why do we bring people from, from the cities in a deal. They come here for 2 years as residency, and then they tell us, of course, they're going to stay because we're subsidizing their tuition. And, you know, but by then they're like 28, 29.
Yeah.
Many of them are married. Many of them even have a family. They don't bring the families in general. They go home on the weekends or their 2 days off.
Yeah. And that's why if we get them here when they're meeting their spouse.
What if they're from here?
Yeah.
What if they're from here and their spouse is here?
And that's the next level. And that's one of the things I know that I've been talking with other supervisors in other counties. And that's why I'm really looking forward to the report back that I'll give on my Facebook. On a future radio show about the response that Supervisor Kellstrom and you will get or received from RCRC about having different counties getting slots for top high school graduates who go on to get their BA and then want to return to the North State into the region for med school residency and then of course launching their career in medicine. And I think if you get someone from MODOC, someone from Siskiyou, a couple from Trinity, a few from Shasta, so on and so forth, we're going to be able to grow our own. And that was proved out or discussed out yesterday or in the meeting we just had with UC Davis, and all the doctors agreed. Like, there's some people that can't even get in. They do everything right. I think Dr. Danuka was mentioning that someone had, was off 1 point in their MCATs. And, they get absolute straight A's, highest marks, et cetera, and still can't get in. Like, you can't do anymore. But if we have, a local option and you are already at the top of the list if you're from here. If you're from here, and of course you meet the requirements, but that's not an issue because we have a lot of young people right now in medical school that are leaving, going to New York, like Dr. Duca's daughter. Then we grow our own and we keep them here.
Well, that's the strategy. Isn't that called strategy?
Well, that's
isn't
what
that
I call
it. Being strong?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how it's I don't know. So much of this stuff, it just seems so obvious,
Kevin, it's arithmetic. Not an algorithm. Don't tell me it's complicated.
It's not. Well, I don't think it's complicated. It's about getting the right people in the room, and then when they say it's a heavy lift, it's tough, it's burdensome, a lot goes into it. Like, don't give me the sound bites. Give me what it takes. Like, if somebody says, hey, I want to run a 4.5 40, and it's like, okay, here's the 20 things you have to do to give yourself a shot to run a 4.5 or a 4.6. Let's just say 4.6.
And those things are known.
Well, they're known. They're known. Stride pattern, what you eat, how you hydrate, your training splits, etc. Form, all these things. Do all those things, and if you don't make it, you can say, well, hey, you did everything you could. But guess what? Most people are going to get there. Mr. Street, this has been a fast hour. We will be talking a lot more. I really appreciate you coming in. I appreciate the work you've done for the county and for the region. And this is going to be something that we're going to look back on not just in a couple years, but in 20, 30 years, and say, this was started by big ideas, people leaning in and getting it done. And for the naysayers, I think they're going to start to dissipate more and more, and they're going to be embarrassed because they could throw their weight behind being successful, or they could just be the naysayers, and that's fine. I don't have time for them. Mr. Street, thank you. With that, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you, Shasta County, for being the greatest county to live in. Have a great week.
Sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to. For people like me, people like you, wish I could just wake up and it not be true. But it is. Oh, it is. Living in the new world. Whipping home.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.